This is the Podium Finish Live from Austin, Texas, and various points across the country. Here's your host, Rob Tiansen.
And a good day to everyone out there listening to us. Welcome to episode 111 of TPF Live, the world's fastest hour of racing talk. I'm your host, Rob Tiansen, joined alongside Brooklyn Jackson for this post-Richmond pre-Martinsville edition of our show. Yes, we're still in the state of Virginia. We're still in short track season, but goodness and gracious, there's so much to talk about on this show, given what happened on Easter Sunday night. And if you've been living under a rock these last couple of days, well, Brooklyn and I got to get you up to speed on all the great news and all the controversy that's surrounding Richmond and going forward into Martinsville's Cookout 400 race weekend. There's so many Cookout 400s this year. I'm going to have to delineate each one of them because I think there's one in Richmond, and I'm pretty sure there's the Cookout Southern 500 in Darlington. So we're going to have to make sure that we say this is the Cookout 400 at Martinsville. So just clearing the air on that, but also just a lot to get to on this show because we have a great guest for this week's hot seat. And it's going to be Alex Bowman, driver of the number 48 Ally Chevrolet Camaro ZL1, fielded by Hendrick Motorsports. Now, I know if you caught the tail end of last week's episode, I said William Byron was going to be on the show. Well, turns out, in the world of NASCAR, sometimes there's changes to the schedule, and we have to just roll with it, and that's okay. So instead, we'll get William Byron for next week's episode, because I'll be interviewing him on Saturday, just before he practices and qualifies at Martinsville Speedway. So as I was saying to Brooklyn before we started recording on this Wednesday evening, it's going to be neat because Nathan Solomon's going to be at the track along with Wayne Regal. And Nathan's got a lot of great interviews he'll be working on, not just in the bullpens or press conferences, but it turns out I'll be his third virtual teammate at the racetrack, but obviously in Texas, as you heard from Stephen Conley, the voiceover guy in the beginning of our show. So I think this is the first time, technically speaking, that I'll get to actually contribute to a race weekend with Wayne and Nathan, but from afar. But it's kind of cool how things work in 2024. But it's kind of be cool to talk about what happened on Sunday night and Saturday afternoon, because there was no shortage of stories from Richmond. In fact, we made it on the Late Show with Stephen Colbert, if you didn't catch that. And we'll put a link to that clip on the podcast description, if you read that on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It's pretty amusing that we made it on Colbert's show with Joey Gase's bumper throw at Dawson Crown. You should just see what he said. And it goes to show, like Brooklyn's been saying, marketing of any kind is good, but we need to get the drivers on different platforms. And I would say the Colbert show, yeah, Brooklyn's like, I told you. Colbert's show is something I watch almost every night. And the fact that NASCAR got on there, even if it was for a bumper throw, come on, we got to get more of that going. So that's cool to see. Now let's go bring in Brooklyn right now, because we got a lot to get to. So Brooklyn, how are you doing this on this day? And are you looking forward to some Martinsville racing?
I'm good. You were not lying when you said this was a jam-packed episode. We have a lot to cover. We have a lot from the past and looking to Martinsville. I am looking forward to Martinsville. Martinsville, again, is always an interesting track. It's the same thing. It never leaves. I feel like there's always some sort of drama or chippiness that comes with it. So never a dull moment.
We have two nights and one afternoon race to look forward to starting this Friday night with the truck series with the Long John Silver's 200. So if you like your seafood, fast food style, go ahead and get to your Long John Silver's. I haven't seen one personally in my life, but if it's good, then you should do it. And then maybe if you need to take care of business, use some dude wipes for Saturday night's Xfinity race. I won't describe what that's for. We'll just leave it at that. And then for the cup race, then go to another restaurant and get your cookout for the Cookout 400. See that, NASCAR? We're good at product placement like that. So I guess eat Long John Silver's, use some dude wipes to do some business, and then really get the matters down with some cookout. Oh boy, by the end of everything, I hope you're not like Morgan Spurlock in Super Size Me, because that's what I feel like I'd be doing once I have some cookout and some Long John Silver's. I'm sorry, I went down that road. Well, NASCAR and QSRs just go together. What can I say? Now, before we get started on our show, and now I'm starting to think about fast food places, let's hear from our presenting sponsor, SpoilerDiecast.com. And everything is coming pretty quickly from the factories in China to America to get your latest in Lionel Racing and Greenlight collectibles for NASCAR and IndyCars. And of course, being in the month of April, that means we're one more month away from the month of May. I don't just necessarily mean the month of May. If you know racing, I'm talking about the Indianapolis 500 and the GMR Grand Prix. And yes, and of course, that means Kyle Larson's going to attempt the first of his Hendrick 11 or H1100 at Indianapolis Motor Speedway and Charlotte Motor Speedway, because of course it's a 2-year deal. So if he missed this year's, they'll be next year's, but this will be fun to see how he'll fare. And you can get some historical diecast cars from Lionel Racing at SpoilerDiecast.com. Hey there, racing fans. Are you on the lookout for the latest NASCAR, IndyCar, or F1 diecasts in the market? Well, look no further than SpoilerDiecast.com for the latest and greatest and fastest shipping in the industry. And did you know, if you use code TPF on orders of $20 or more, you'll get free shipping and 5% off of your orders. And that's really easy money to save. So head on over to SpoilerDiecast.com and use code TPF to get 5% off of your orders of $20 or more. And if you happen to be in the area in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Spoiler Diecast is now open for business at their storefront location at 6004 Highview Drive, Suite E in Fort Wayne, Indiana. That's 6004 Highview Drive, Suite E, Fort Wayne, Indiana. SpoilerDiecast.com for the latest and greatest in diecast collectibles. We'll see you in the fast lane. Now with that, folks, I do believe it is time for some Pony Perspectives, powered by SpoilerDiecast.com. Now, in terms of Sunday night's race, with what happened, there's a little bit of everything in terms of that race. Now, getting to the beginning of everything, it was the very first points-paying cup race that we saw start in damp conditions. So Brooklyn and I and everybody at TPF would love to get a round of applause to the Goodyear team and NASCAR for making that happen. Otherwise, we would have sat through a really long delay, and our Easter Sunday night would have been more like an Easter Sunday night going into Monday morning, which I don't think anybody wanted. That would have been very unsavory. So that was awesome to see. And honestly, for Richmond standards, I thought this was a good race. I loved, you know, in the early part of the race that people could go side by side. They can trade some paint. But we never saw the leader drive away far away into the distance. I think the biggest lead we may have seen was like 2 seconds, 3 seconds. So it's a rare moment on this show where we actually get to say, good job, NASCAR. Good job on the error package and actually getting it done right. Now, I don't know if that's going to be the case in August when we come back from the summer break, but at least it's another night race, but it's going to be quite a bit warmer. But for Richmond to see this kind of racing, it was kind of fun. I liked it. I know, as Nathan pointed out in our internal team chats, the ratings were not the greatest, but the point being, that was a good Richmond race. And I would say it was one of the better races I've seen on a short track with the next gen car. Now, everyone's probably still talking about what Denny Hamlin did on Sunday night. And I know on Twitter, he was just trying to either ship post. I didn't say the S word. I said ship, like vessel, ship post people about how they accused him of him jumping the restart. But there is some data that showed black and white terms, he did jump the restart. But Elton Sawyer, the senior vice president of competition of NASCAR, was like, I still believe we made the right call on Sunday night. But there was some evidence that he did jump the restart. And if it happened earlier, we would have called it. So we've been making a joke on our team that it doesn't count. I mean, it counts unless it's the last lap. So we'll get to the other side of this story in a moment. But Brooklyn, as far as you're concerned, I mean, I know you watched the whole race with us. I know Denny Hamlin got his second win. He's a short track master, but let's just get down to it. He jumped the restart, in your opinion.
Absolutely, no doubt. To put it in, incredibly bluntly, he completely got away with NASCAR murder. He's a data man himself, so I think he should he I don't know. There is data, and I would think, I don't know, he's now that he's on the other end of it, I feel like, I mean, maybe we should look at it. But he definitely jumped restart.
Yeah, I think it's funny you mentioned that he's Mr. Data, because it's true. He has been known to screenshot or showcase SMT data on his X or Twitter to refute information. And it just so happens this time, oh no, nah, I could do this time. I didn't jump it. It was my pit crew that won me the race.
Right. Which is, I mean, that's maybe a, it could be a natural reaction, but I mean, you're Mr. Data. I would expect you to uphold being a such a value for data.
I mean, I think if he knows he didn't jump the restart too, going along your logic here, if he didn't jump the restart in his mind, then he wouldn't be shy to share the data, because then they would back him up completely. And there would
Right.
be no lingering, he did, didn't he? He did. And instead, we're still having some doubt over it. And yes, I do like the fact he pointed out his pit crew wanted him in the race, because yes, they got him ahead of Truex on that last pit stop. I want to say on lap 400, 401. Basically, the pit stops before the overtime restart. Our first, by the way, of the season, which is shocking to believe. But that's like saying, you know what? I'm breathing, so I'm alive. Of course. So saying your pit crew
Right.
won the race is, I don't know. That's besides
I
the
think
point.
he's an incredibly smart individual. He knows he got away with something. I mean, there's no way he doesn't. I mean, his pit crew
Exactly.
did an amazing job. This is not discrediting him as a driver or his pit crew, obviously, but I think they put him in a position to be able to therefore get away with something.
Oh, agreed. And it's kind of like, remember, if you've ever watched Christmas Story, it's like when Ralphie says, when their friend was cut his tongue on the flagpole, you never admit to the teacher when you've put someone up for a dare, because then you get in trouble. So I kind of think this is kind of the same thing, where he's like, I didn't jump the restart. Because if he admits that gives NASCAR some reasons to go, we need to open up an investigation. We need to look and see if the data does purport this claim that he's made. And if he did jump the restart, all of a sudden Joey Logano gets the victory,
And
which
he breaks the winless streak.
I know a lot of folks in Team Penske Nation are waiting for that moment to happen, and it nearly did. So I'm sure going into Sunday night after the race, they were all kind of hoping that the powers that be were going to, review the restart and go, oh, please, NASCAR, do Pocono 2022 here. And that didn't happen. They immediately, I think it was not that long after the race ended, they were like, yeah, the restart. And we're like, really? Like that quickly? You didn't review it? Like, you reviewed it that fast, and we know he didn't.
I feel like it was, and this was, I wasn't, I mean, looking at my, like, but, I mean, I wasn't looking at the clock. But it felt like maybe within 10 or 15 minutes, they had called it. I mean, less than 15, honestly. It felt like 5 or 10 minutes they had said, like, yeah, the restart was good. And it was never under evaluation. I remember those words being used.
Yeah, and that's the part where I think a lot of folks are like, well,
It wasn't.
was it right? Like, I know this is not the championship race. I know this was what, race number 7 of 36.
Seven, yeah.
But it's like you kind of want to have fairness and transparency in a time where you know the sport's growing. But I think, yeah, now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I don't want Reddit Nation I read NASCAR Nation to go come at me. But I also think on the flip side of things, you're having a situation where because we're talking about it, this is a better outcome than if, say, if they did penalize him. Yeah, that would be big news. But then Joey Logano wins and it's like, okay, this is not as groundbreaking as when Chase Elliott was declared the winner at Pocono and made history when he led nothing of the race, yet he won the race and he never accepted the trophy. And Denny Hamlin still has that trophy from Pocono. So I don't know. We're talking about it, so I think that's a bigger news story. But the thing that scares me is that this opens the doors up for more trickery on restarts if we have an overtime restart or we're within the final few laps before the scheduled last lap of a race that the leader can play games and NASCAR is going to be forced into a position where if they know they call that a jump and say it's a very popular driver, it puts them in that spot where if they make that call, it's not going to sit very well. And I mean, Denny Hamlin, yes, he is PE number one, but he does have a lot of fans. So I'm sure if they had penalized him, I think there'd be folks who go, man, they really have it out for Hamlin because they did this to our guy at Pocono 2022. Now they're going to do it to him at his home track at Richmond. Like, come on, NASCAR.
But is there a common denominator at that point?
Yeah, really. Yeah. There is Mr. Number 11, Denny Hamlin. So it's never born with him, that's for sure. I can't think of a victory where it's been a snoozer.
So no, absolutely not.
This is it's going to be interesting to see because we're going to another short track this weekend. And, you know, I'm keeping tabs of stuff. Denny Hamlin's had a perfect record at the short tracks because I do consider the LA Coliseum, even though it's a non-points race, that's a short track. In fact, the shortest track. Guess what? He won that race. And then he won Bristol, which was, I wouldn't say controversial, but we talked about it a lot because of the excessive tire wear that jumbled up the order. And we only had like 4-5 cars on the lead lap, which I think is the fewest we've seen in the Next Gen Cup era for any race. Then we get to Richmond. He jumps the restart and he wins the race anyways. So I had some interesting thoughts about the race winning time picks. we'll see what I say about Hamlin on that point because he is a past Martinsville winner. So I'm not saying he's gonna have anything controversial happen. I am implying that he is a very good short track racer, and it's kind of too bad that this is part of what will be associated with his latest victory because he did have a good car. It's just unfortunate that happened. And it's most unfortunate that it happened because for Martin Truex Jr., the other side of the story, and Denny Hamlin's Joe Gibbs Racing teammate, well, he made it pretty known right away when he got out of his car, when they interviewed him on Fox, he was like, yeah, Danny jumped the restart. Now, Truex, I thought, was just sour beans. And no, I'm not going to call him Eeyore like Kyle Petty. And I know he did do that on a NASCAR.com segment. And I hope he wasn't like making fun of Truex's mental health. I respect and I like Kyle Petty, but I'm not going to go that low and call someone a name because of their attitude or demeanor after a defeat, because we're not doing that. But I would say Truex has every reason to be upset because he absolutely destroyed the field once he got the lead. Now, it was kind of a gift, in my opinion, that he got the lead because Kyle Larson was playing the long ball game with crew chief Kyle Cliff Daniels. And I was like, wait a second, why are they staying out? Well, everyone pitted like around lap 120-ish, 130-ish or something like that. And then Larson's just staying out there. He's just like, yeah, this is kind of cool. I like leading. And I'm like, bro, you're not going to have the lead when you get out of pit road. You're probably going to be like 20th and fighting for the lead lap. And sure enough, that's what happened. Truex took the lead because he had fresher tires while Larson was out there on old tires. In fact, when Larson pitted, he lost the lead. He went a lap down. He got his lead lap back. He was charging his way up, got up to, I think, maybe sixth place, I believe, when the caution came out for Kyle Busch, which I think was not really caution worthy, but we'll save that for another night or day. So anyways, that sets up Truex leading the rest of the race, basically, because I don't think anyone passed him on the track. Like, they could try, but he was just like, nope, not today, y'all. And then that caution came out when Bubba Wallace and Kyle Larson tangled off just after turn four, just before the stripe, which our friend Patrick Vallely got an amazing shot of. And I got to give a shout out to Daniel Rankin for getting the shot of Kyle Larson spinning past the stripe. It was an oh my heart moment, as the late Ken Squire would say. Anyways, after all of that, Truex went into pit road with the leaders. They lost the lead off pit road. And then he got ran off the racetrack, so he said, off of turn one when Danny jumped the restart. And then he lost second place and even lost third. So he went from first to fourth. I think any reasonable person would be pretty crestfallen afterwards, but you know, I got to ask you, Brooklyn, is Martin Truex Jr. still in the right to be upset? And what are your thoughts on Kyle Petty calling him Eeyore?
Absolutely. I feel like he has every right to be upset in that moment. I mean, because multiple things kind of happened just rapid fire within a couple laps there. And also, at the same time, this is a competition. But also, we're not talking small amounts of money. Whether you're talking about the winnings or the cars, or we're dealing with a lot of money on the line, and he's aware of that. He's a champion. He's been in a winless streak. He wants to prove that, hey, I'm still a contender. I'm still in the Cup Series for a reason. So I felt like he was very justifiably upset. Now, maybe to the extent was a bit extreme. I feel like Larson is what really confused, and I feel like Kyle was just as confused as we were with, like, okay, now how did he get brought into, like you just like went into him, like, okay, like I get it, you're angry, but, and I mean, Kyle said it best. He was like, I think I was just the closest person. And I was like, yeah, he's right. I mean, but I mean, we saw a typical, he gets the lead, dominates the most of the race, and I was like, okay, he's got it on lock. I was watching, we had it on at my grandma's house. And he had been leading for a long time. And so my grandma was like, you know, tell me about him. And so I was like, okay, yeah, like he drives for Joe Gibbs Racing. He won the championship in 2017. And when he wins a race, he dominates it. Like, he doesn't, I mean, most of the time, when you think of a Martin Truex Jr. win, he dominates the race.
And the strange thing is, he did everything right. And still that caution with Bubba and Kyle. And you wouldn't really think he's going to blow the race, because that doesn't really happen in his races when he dominates.
Right.
And
I feel like that's what was so frustrating in this situation, is that he did do everything right. Like, on paper, there's nothing he did wrong. It's just stuff that went out of his control, which is almost, I mean, I can speak for me personally, but I mean, that's the most frustrating stuff.
It is. It's like you pretty much did everything. It's like studying for a test and you read up on the questions because the teacher or professor gave you the core of what would be on the test. And then you get the test questions and they're nothing like what you expected. So it's just like, oh, why did I do that? Like, why did they tell me this? But then you forgot that key little thing your professor said when they're like, oh, by the way, I might change things up, so you may want to read up on chapter 13. And in this case, it'd be, oh no, chapter 11. In this case, it'd be Denny Hamlin and his trickery on restarts or just late race luck, as we saw many, many times last year and in his career. Yeah, listen, I feel bad about Truex losing the race, because there's nothing more soul-crushing than to dominate, and you know, you lose it on the last lap, or last few laps, rather. And we've seen it a lot with the next gen car, and really in this decade of NASCAR Cup Series racing, to dominate and then you lose it.
Right.
I was glad he didn't put his pit crew under the bus, though.
Absolutely. I felt bad for him, but then bringing this back to me, I also felt bad for myself a little bit because there was a little part of me that was like, I picked him. I was right. Look at me go. And then the restart happens and I'm like, before that even, but I was like, the caution happens and I'm like, oh no, here we go. I was like, I don't have a good feeling about this anymore for some reason.
You were like CJ, Carl Johnson in Grand Theft Auto, San Andreas, that meme. I won't repeat the swear. He goes, "Aw, man, here we go again." That's basically what I imagined you saying in your grandma's house when Truex, because yeah, you were whooping it up about Truex winning, and I was just like, yeah, I think you got it right, because you've been pretty solid on your race picks, not just in Cup, but everything altogether.
Right.
And still in the end, I think you did a good job, because I think last weekend, oh God, I don't remember who I picked for the race. That goes to show how much I pay attention as a guy.
Right.
Oh man. But you had a great pick with MTJ. He got a fourth place. And at some point they're gonna win a race here. And I think you mentioned too, well, in our team chat, how you like the dynamics between Truex and crew chief James Small, because they keep it pretty real.
Oh, I love their dynamics. Yes. I mean, they're just, you can tell they're so close. I love how just open they are with each other. I just think they have a hilarious dynamic. I love their radio is amazing to listen to.
And you folks at home ought to give it a try. There's no excuse not to, because you can pretty much listen to the scanners at the racetrack or NASCAR.com. And I promise you will be entertained with what they say to each other. If you have a close family, oftentimes you say stuff that you may not necessarily mean, but in the heat of the moment, you'll say it. And that's kind of the dynamic with Small and Truex. They're pretty close. And I know people. And a lot of the bigger media often blow it out of proportion and say, "Oh, he hates Small." And I'm like, no, they don't hate each other. That's just their dynamic.
That's
It's
just,
not
I mean,
always.
the, right. That's just the way they work together and, I mean, communicate at certain points.
You should see some of the stuff we say to each other in TPF, if you could, because there are moments we say things out of in the heat of the moment, but we come back together usually. From things. So that's just how dynamics work when you're in a competitive, high-stakes situation or when things get tense, but then in the end, I think if you ask Truex, who helps him get to be a contender each weekend, aside from his pit crew, he'll probably point out James Small. So he'll give that man the due credit he deserves. And he is a really fine crew chief for that number 19 team. I would say he really has taken after Cole Pearn in his own way. And added on, and really, he's added extra mileage to Truex's career. Because then a lot of people back in 2022 were like, yeah, he's going to be retiring soon. He'll be retiring after this season. And it's like, nope, he's back for another year. And then, like, I think, I want to say early August of last year during Michigan, he's like, yep, I'm coming back again. And we can't forget James Small has a lot to do with why Truex can still keep winning races, can still contend, be this reliable playoff contender. And I wouldn't put it past both of them to put their team back in the championship four later this year. As much as Denny Hamlin's winning right now, I will say that when it comes to a Joe Gibbs Racing driver and crew, not that Christopher Bell can't get the job done. I'm going to have him in the champion. I said he will be in the championship four, I think, in one of my Fox NASCAR previews, but I will say Truex is going to be in my championship four too, because he's just that good. And they'll get to winning races here. I wouldn't be surprised if they go to Texas and they win that race, and it's a stinker of a race when he wins, because they're just so good. So be prepared just to read my article about that. That's going to be my pick for next weekend. So ha ha ha, I'm jumping a week ahead on that. Now let's actually talk about the clip that made the Colbert show, or the late show with Colbert on CBS. But this race, of course, was Saturday afternoon's Toyota Care 250. I don't think that Joey Gase cared too much about his rear bumper cover after he tangled with Dawson Cram in turn one, in stage three. And listen, I don't disagree with how Joey Gase felt. Tearing off the bumper cover of his car and flinging it in frustration at Dawson Cram. Now, it was a little dangerous to do what he did, ripping it off with his bare hands. But hey, when we're angry, we're going to do some questionable things. And he's an independent driver, so I get it. Like, he dumped you, man. It sucks to get wrecked like that. It was kind of ironic, though, because it was the crime dog McGriff car. And if you 80s kids remember his saying, you know, take a bite out of crime, I think Joey Gase took a bite out of his race car at the hands of Dawson Cram and ripped it off, threw it at Cram's car. Oh, goodness. He's been fun with it, at least afterwards, because he's actually, I think he's selling T-shirts about it, which I think is funny. And the fact that we made national late night talk show news with Colbert, that goes to show you that was a good viral clip for NASCAR. Now, thankfully, Joey Gase is not suspended because he's only been fined $5,000. I mean, that sounds like a lot for a NASCAR driver, but for an independent driver like him, that's a lesson learned for sure. But it was entertaining, to say the least, and I'm glad that we're going to have a chance to see those two race each other again at some point. But I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, Brooklyn, in terms of the Gase bumper cover throw at Dawson Cram's number four car.
I was just watching this unfold, like, oh my, he's really about to, yep, he's ripping the bumper off. There we go. There it is. Like, the only thing I would change is, like you said, he should have just kept the gloves on. That's the only thing I would have changed. That was the weirdest part about it, that he took his gloves off. But I mean, I've said I can't, I mean, I'm not gonna put down a fight, disagreement, anything like that. Let it happen. It's marketing. It's part of what makes this sport entertaining. I mean, or any sport entertaining. You know, seeing the dynamics between people and seeing stuff unfold. I mean, and you have to let them at certain points. I mean, I agree with him getting fined because that was a little bit of a safety issue. Was it an entertaining safety issue? Yes. So, I mean, would I have been smiling and laughing as I said, okay, like, give me $5,000 if I'm NASCAR? Yes. But yeah, I think, I mean, it was just, honestly, I guess out of seven races, I won't say that was the most entertaining Xfinity race, but that was just a wild moment.
It's a moment that at least put us on TV. And I, for the record, I believe that's now two moments from this season that have at least made it beyond the traditional confines of NASCAR programming, which is good for our sport.
And that's what I got to thinking about. I was like, okay, I can't say that was the most entertaining Xfinity race this season, but I mean, it's up there for sure.
And I love it because Joey Gase didn't hold back in his post-accident interview with Reagan Smith on FS1. His direct quote was,
I think him just not having his head screwed on right. You know, I gave the kid his first opportunity ever in Xfinity, and I know Johnny Davis is in the business of wrecking race cars, and we're definitely not. We're a small team and racing hard for the lucky dog, and apparently he just didn't know how to lift. So maybe his throttle stuck. I don't know.
And I just thought that was entertaining to hear him say that. It was almost on the levels of Jimmy Spencer Never Forgets. We're getting towards that. I would put this as high as Jeff Bodine's rant after Jimmy Spencer wrecked him at Bristol in 1997, where, and I could say this because this is, we're probably going to get an explicit warning on this. It's not a bad word. I'm just getting a direct quote. When he was interviewed, I think by Bill Weber, Jeff Bodine was saying, I'm not whining, I'm not bitching, I'm just telling the goddamn truth. The man out there, he's wild, he's an animal. That's what he said about Jimmy Spencer. So Joey Gase was up there with Jeff Bonine. So I like that. We need to see more emotions. And I agree with you, Brooklyn. We want to see those moments, not the what a gosh darn shame. We had a good car. You know, it's a shame to get taken out like that. We'll move on to next week. Like, no, you gotta be real about stuff. So I was talking about this to my brother-in-law, and he was like, "Have you ever noticed that sometimes the drivers can be very pretty sanitary about the responses?" And I'm like, "I mean, I guess so. It's a corporate sport after all." But that moment was not very corporate. That was a
No,
real
I, this
crush.
week, I don't know who took things more personally, Gase or Truex Jr.
Seriously,
With
I
Michael
mean,
Jordan's quote and ran with it this week.
seriously. I mean, that's going to be a fun topic for topic five. Our typical who impressed us, who needs a goodies headache powder award. Because, yeah, Truex did not hold back. He did not talk corporate at all. And Joey Gase, being an independent driver, he's never going to be a Fortune 500 talker. Hopefully, he'll get a Fortune 500 company on his car, but he'll always be pretty homely and down to earth type of individual, which is good. We want to have more of those individuals in our sport. But the sad thing we're going to have to talk about next is some news that came from Sports Business Journal on Tuesday afternoon. Now, this may not seem like a shock, but the fact that this is being talked about by a reputable outlet like Sports Business Journal, we might want to take this one a little bit seriously, folks. So there are some discussions that Stuart Haas Racing may downsize after this season, because their future, it's something that we're going to be watching a lot of about, going into summer, late fall, because right now they're a four-car team, but they've lost a lot of sponsors in recent years. They've lost Anheuser-Busch. They've moved over to Trackhouse Racing with Ross Chastain. Smithfield Foods has left the sport altogether. And they have also lost Hunt Brothers Pizza to Joey Logano's Team Penske ride. So the thing is that, of course, Kevin Harvick, he's retired. He's now in the Fox NASCAR booth. And the team, their deal with Ford Performance, that expires after the season. So it kind of makes you wonder what's going to happen to this bunch. Are they going to stick with Ford and renew for a few more years because we have the new TV contract next season? Are they going to still be a four-car team, or are they going to downsize to at least three cars for next season? It's interesting to see, because if they do contract to three cars, at least there's going to be a charter for sale, which would definitely garner the attention of teams like Trackhouse Racing, 2311 Racing, Legacy Motor Club, possibly Junior Motorsports, because for so long, Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Kelly Earnhardt Miller, they want to have a cup team. They've expressed as much. And this could be their golden opportunity to move up to the Cup Series. So I'm just wondering, Brooklyn, what are your impressions on this potential story that's brewing from Sports Business Journal, which, of course, as we call it colloquially, it's a stern bomb.
I mean, this is really early debates and talk, but some of their evidence is like losing the sponsors. I mean, like that's fact. So I mean, it's very possible that, I mean, those are real conversations. Like losing sponsors, that's a big thing. I mean, in different contracts with like you said, TV, those are also real conversations. And do they switch sponsors? Does it make more monetary sense for them to just downsize rather than switch sponsors or look for new sponsors? So at this point, I think it's too early, really, for us on the outside to know it, but it's going to be interesting as we maybe hear more, find out more. But I think, I mean, I won't be surprised either way, I don't think, at this point.
Yeah, I mean, with Stuart Haas Racing, they, let's be honest too, that their performance hasn't been quite as sharp as it's been in recent years. I mean, they were this dominant team when they added Kevin Harvick in 2014. And I would argue for at least, say, 6 years, they were really good. And when they were a Chevrolet team, I would even dare say they were better than Hendrick Motorsports for a few years, which is saying a lot considering that Hendrick is the number one Chevrolet team on the totem pole, and SHR was arguably a second or third best team, but they were killing them on the racetrack. I think I would say 2015, 2016. And then they switched to Ford. And then they didn't really slow down. In fact, I thought they were the best Ford team for a while. And then all of a sudden, we get to the next gen era and things have changed. Honestly, I think things changed during late 2020 when Harvick, who everyone anointed as the champion that season during the COVID season, well, things kind of fell apart for him. He had a really bad situation at Texas Motor Speedway with the early race accident. Didn't get a good finish there. And then the late race accident with the desperation moves to try to get to the championship four. And then he ultimately gets spun out by Kyle Busch, I think a turn four of that race, and it dashed his dreams of being the COVID champion. Well, I don't say COVID champion. That's, you know what I mean? COVID season champion. So it's just like, wow, that moment in 2020, really, the cup program has gone just way down. And they really, really, really haven't made much noise since then, which is a shame because Chase Briscoe is a really talented driver. Noah Gregson is a fire starter for sure. A firecracker, a great driver too, though.
Absolutely. Then I mean, they're both great drivers. I mean, they're all great drivers. But like you said, they have been struggling. They've been doing their best, but it's not up to their expectations, obviously.
Yeah, there's just something missing with that team. So I think maybe going down to three cars may help. And I think eventually maybe making a manufacturer change may help too, because it's pretty clear that Front Row Motorsports has supplanted their ranking as a tier team. Because remember, I think they're as high up there with either Team Penske or RFK Racing. I know at least Team Penske's got to at least be a top tier Ford team, because it's Roger Penske. And RFK Racing, they have to be up there given Keselowski's name, his power, his prestige in all of motorsports. So now that Front Row Motorsports has leapfrogged Stuart Haas Racing, you're going to have to wonder what happens to that organization. And if they do switch up manufacturers, how's that going to affect their Xfinity program with Riley Herbst and, Cole Custer, the defending Xfinity champion? So there's just so many questions we're having to ask ourselves. And if they do downsize, who's going to get the boot? Because my point being is that this Stuart Haas Racing team in the Cup Series may not be the best Cup quartet, but they're not terrible either. There's some upside to these drivers, each of them. You could make an argument for Ryan Preece. You could make an argument for Chase Briscoe, Noah Gregson, Josh Berry, who we all know. He's a sensational driver. In fact, he's been turning up the wick lately. He had a great run at Bristol, looked really good at Richmond. We're going to Martinsville, which is the track where I arguably say that's the track that got everybody thinking about who Josh Berry was in 2021. If he didn't win the Xfinity race, there is probably no Josh Berry in Cup racing right now. So I would hate to see someone lose their ride because they had to contract their team, because I think all four are great. And if they could get everything rolling, we may not be talking about them downsizing, but still surviving as a quartet. But it is a very expensive sport, folks, and even people like Gene Haas and Tony Stewart have to make some difficult decisions as the year progresses. So we'll keep you folks apprised as to what's going on with SHR on the Cup Series side, and obviously Xfinity side as well. I do believe it's time now to talk about who impressed us the most at Richmond and who deserves a goodies headache powder from either Cup or Xfinity. So I know I can see Brooklyn's gathering her notes on that. So I'll make my picks really quick and then give her the chance to speak on that. So I would say in terms of who impressed me the most at Richmond, I would have to say it would have to be someone from the Cup Series, because obviously, whoever finished in the top 10 in Xfinity, I was not totally surprised by. So I'm going to go and say for the Cup side of things, I'm going to give it to Josh Berry, because he started 30th. He got great finishes in stage one and two. He finished 9th in stage one. Stage two, he got a runner-up finish. I know he dropped back to 11th, and it doesn't really reflect how great he ran at Richmond, but he looked like a guy who deserved to be in that four car. And I think because we're going to another short track, he's going to parlay this great run into another good run at Martinsville. Now, who definitely needs a goodies headache powder? Oh boy, I think there's two candidates that are going to stand out to this. So hopefully I don't make the same pick as Brooklyn. I will say Joey Gase needs a goodies headache powder because it's tough when you own your own, you run and own your own team. You're just trying to make some laps, just get through the finish of a short track race, and then to get taken out like that, especially by a driver who you gave his first opportunity in Xfinity racing, that's going to hurt for a while. So yes, give the man his goodies headache powder. So Brooklyn, it's your turn to give the who impressed you the most and who needs a goodies headache powder.
So I struggled with this week. I went back and forth. There were, like you, I wasn't that surprised by the Xfinity top 10. But there were a few people who impressed me in Cup. You have Joey Logano, who ends up with a second place. You have Chase Elliott getting a top 5. Now, for how I'm going to give my I was impressed by to Joey Logano, because he has not had a great start to this season, as we've seen. I mean, he had a good starting position even, but he was able to stick in there and get the runner-up finish. So I was impressed by him. Now, for who needs the headache powder, I'm going to give mine to Martin Truex Jr. kind of maybe an obvious answer, like yours. But, yeah, just dominating a race and then, boom, it's gone like that. Yeah, he needs a headache powder for sure.
Yeah, I hope the man has at least enjoyed at least one or two just to soothe the pains from Martin. Martin Truex Jr. almost winning at Richmond. That it's going to hurt, but you're as good as the next race. We all know that Joe Gibbs Racing is very good at short tracks like Martinsville and Richmond. And I know Denny Hamlin will be the first to point out, like, they figured out something in the late 2010s, and it's still carrying over to this next-gen car. So, yeah, I think the man, Martin Truex Jr., is a worthy Goodies Headache Powder Award winner. So we would give him a check, but we'll just give him a Goodies Headache Powder to soothe the pains. And yeah, Joey Logano getting a top 5, much less a podium finish, is huge, because he jumped up to 19th in points, and he really needed a good run after the tough, atrocious start he's had. So it was his best. It's his best racetrack. So it is good to see that he was able to execute on that and finally get the finish he deserves, because it's been tough for 22 fans to see their guy run so well but get the tough finishes. And then Chase Elliott getting a top 5 finish, I thought it was interesting to see that it's been quite some time since he got a top 5, because if memory serves me correctly, I think his last top 5 finish until Sunday night at Richmond was last year, of course. When I say last year, I'm talking about, goodness gracious, we're talking about the Coke Zero Sugar 400 at Daytona, the cutoff race until the playoffs. So he's been mired in some struggles. Not like he struggled, but like just a lot of things have happened to Chase since his comeback.
It's a lot. That's really the only word you can use. It's just been a lot for the 9 team.
It has. But the thing to think about is that this team honestly has been good as, I wouldn't say they're as good as, no, they're a good team. I would argue that they're not too far behind Byron's pace, honestly.
They're a great team.
They're a great team. Alan Gustafson's a great crew chief. I was just surprised that it had been, what, I think almost 16 races since their last top 5 finish. So that's a big...
It's uncharacteristic. It's something we don't expect to see from them. Or Joey Logano. Either one of them. We expect to see them in the top 10, top 5. Contending for wins. Hear their names.
Championship 4 contenders almost every year.
We expect to see, one of them in the top, in the championship 4. But, just last season wasn't it. I mean, so far this season it's kind of been
Yeah, it's not been too bad. They're eighth place in points, which I know we don't really think
Oh,
about regular
well, I
season
mean, for
standings.
Joey Logano, for Chase,
Oh.
it's yeah, for the nine team, it's way better points. Oh, for the nine teams looking great in points.
Yeah, Logano season has just been a nightmare from hell. So I think hopefully Martins will continue the momentum, but I don't know if he's going to feel as confident as he normally does at Richmond because, yes, Logano has won a cup race in 2018. That was the race that pretty much helped him get to the championship four at Homestead. But this is also a track where you'll often see him qualify well, and then all of a sudden finishes like a lap down in 19th place. Well, last spring, he finished second to Kyle Larson. So he's hoping for a run like that, I'm sure. And it remains to be seen if we're going to pick him for winning time because we have reached that point of our show, folks. It is time for winning time. And so we're going to name our picks for the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, Long John Silver's 200, and the defending race winner is Corey Heim. And then for the NASCAR Xfinity Series race, the Dude Wipes 250. Our defending race winner is John Hunter Nemechek, but he is not entered in this race. So undoubtedly, we'll have someone new win this race. At least new for this year, not so much a defending winner. And then for our Sunday's NASCAR Cup Series Cookout 400 at Martinsville, Kyle Larson is a defending race winner. As you may remember, folks, he didn't run that great to begin with, but then got some good track position and held off Joey Logano to win the race. And won the grandfather clock. And I think he was probably in such incredible disbelief that he won. Because if he asked Larson about his thoughts about Martinsville, he is probably not the most confident driver at the paperclip. But he'll have plenty of incentive to try to win because it's the Ruby anniversary weekend from Hendrick Motorsports. So it's going to be really cool to see those Ruby red cars this weekend that Wayne Riegel will take shots of and Nathan Solomon will get a good close-up view of. And we all envy him about that. Anyways, Brooklyn, it's your turn to make picks, and then I'll talk.
All right, for trucks, I have Mr. Grant Infinger winning. For Xfinity, I have Cole Custer going to victory lane. And for the Cup Series, I've said it a few weeks ago, but I think it's actually going to happen this week. I think Chase Elliott will break his winless streak and go to victory lane in Martinsville. He almost, we was so close to getting his first win in Martinsville. So I think he's gonna break his winless streak in Martinsville this time.
Let's not forget, folks, that Chase Elliott, this was, I believe, one of the comeback races last year after the snowboarding accident. And he got a 10th place finish, which I know folks don't really take the time to marvel over. But considering that he was not at 100% and he got a top 10 at Martinsville, at less than 100%, that's gutsy.
That's solid. I mean,
And
he
this
was
is
running
a.
well at Martinsville.
He does. And he actually won the fall race in 2020. So let's not forget, he knows how to win here in a 500
Right.
lap race. So he's at 100 less laps. No problem. He could be up there. I actually will go into a Hendrick theme here in a moment. I think those are pretty good choices, though. You know, Brooklyn with CR7, Grant Infinger winning the truck race. Now, that would be a huge win for that team because Grant's obviously been a truck series fixture for so long. And he is so good at preserving his equipment, just grinding out finishes that the team needs to get for that organization. And Cole Custer winning, I know that would be a huge moment for him. And Chase Elliott winning, that would be a very popular victory on Sunday afternoon. Now for me, oh, this is tough because this is a really stacked truck field in a good
It
way.
is.
I mean, you could
I
make
had
an
the hard
argument for you could make an argument for Corey Heim. You could make an argument for Taylor Gray because Taylor Gray has honestly been so good lately for Tricon Garage.
Those are two names that I thought, I mean, spent several minutes with.
I mean, I'm having the same dilemma myself. I mean, I could even say Bailey Currie could have a chance to win if he doesn't run into bad luck. So really, I think it's kind of come down to those guys. If Ben Rhodes can hopefully avoid trouble, maybe he'll be a factor. but obviously we're not here to make top five picks. So I'm gonna say Taylor Gray. I think he'll get the job done on Friday night. He's got a veteran crew chief in Jeff Hensley, who did work with Grant Infinger. And honestly, those two are just gonna, they're clicking right now. There's just something good about that combination. And I am very impressed with Taylor's maturity in recent months, just basically becoming somewhat of a cocky young driver to now a very polished, but still unpolished driver. Like, I'm not saying in that bad way, unpolished, but it's more like he's just, we haven't seen him get refined yet, but that's okay. He's a diamond in the rough kind of driver. And that's the kind of person that they need over a Tricon with Corey, who is, in my opinion, almost a finished product. He is, I would say he's, dare I say, he is ready for Xfinity racing. And not very long from now, he'll be ready for Cup racing. But Taylor Gray, my truck pick for sure. I think for the Xfinity race, this one's going to be pretty easy for me. I will say Justin Allgaier will get the victory on Saturday night. Goodness gracious, if the guy can win the race, I think he'll probably not need to put some aloe vera from the stings of Phoenix, which I know people are still bringing up to him. The poor guy needs to move on from that. But he knows how to win at Martinsville. So I'm going to go with him and get Junior Motorsports a victory that they sorely need, because good golly, that team has had some strange things happen all season long. And I really empathize with them. I think if Allgaier can win, for some reason, when we get to Talladega, I'm going to say Sam Mayer wins that race, but we're not at Talladega quite yet. For the Cup race, since you picked Chase Elliott, and I know I say Kyle Larson may not be the most confident driver, I'm going to go with Kyle Larson to win on Sunday afternoon. Now, I didn't pick him for Richmond. Because I admit, in my head, I was still picturing the 19th place finish they had in July when they ran like dog poop. And then all of a sudden, on Sunday night, they looked really good. Now, the only reason why I think they lost is because once they got behind the leaders, they ran into what's called a dirty air. And that five car was just never the same after that. But I think it's going to be the opposite way around this time. They're going to be in dirty air for most of this race, just like last year. And then once they get the lead because of pit strategy or just winning the race off pit road, Kyle's going to keep the lead for the rest of the race. And I think it would be pretty special to see the five car win 40 years after Jeff Bodine won Hendrick Motorsports' first race when they were known as All-Star Racing. And guess what car number that was 40 years ago? Number 5. So full circle moment for Mr. H. I know that would be a very emotional moment given what Martinsville means to Rick Hendrick, both from a professional side and, of course, the personal side, which we all know later this year, it'll unfortunately be the 20th anniversary of the Hendrick plane the accident that happened leading up to the fall race at Martinsville that Jimmy Johnson won, and one that we lost a lot of amazing Hendrick family members and people that were on that plane on that afternoon. So I'm sure they're going to be pointing to the sky. I know whether it's Chase, whether it's Kyle, or if we didn't, I know we didn't pick William. None of us picked Alex. But if one of them wins, we know they're going to point to the sky and think of all the people that were lost on that afternoon on October of 2004. So it will be a very special day for Hendrick Motorsports. And I know that I want to say it was Andy Petrie who said this on Fox NASCAR's Race Hub. They're pretty much treating this like a Daytona 500. I would 100% agree with that. So Ruby Red cars, Jeff Bodine's going to be there with Jeff Gordon. They're going to be the Grand Marshals, which will be super cool. And nerdy me, of course, I'm excited about that because guess what, folks? That was row 2 of the 1997 Cookout 400, or back then known as, yes, the 1997 Goody's Headache Powder 500. Yes, it's all full circle. So super cool. I am dorking out. And hopefully Nathan will get the goods from Gordon and Bodine on Sunday afternoon because they're going to be part of some media availability. So you betcha we're going to be writing some stories that will be part of my project for Hendrick Motorsports at 40. Is that a shameless plug? You bet it is. That's what we do on TPF Live to connect you to the website. That's a long explanation for our picks, folks. But, hey, we're having fun. That's what Martinsville is all about. No, we're not going to count how many hot dogs we're going to be eating because I don't eat hot dogs. I don't know if Brooklyn eats hot dogs. I know Nathan does, and I'll make a bold prediction that Nathan's going to have about 5 hot dogs before the weekend's over, and Ooh. Probably will need some Tums.
My over or under, I'll give him 6.
Yeah, I forget. He's a tall guy. So
I've got over under 6.
6. So, Mr. Solomon, we are issuing a challenge to you. You at least have to have 5 in mind, but in Brooklyn's world, you have to have 1 more than my pick. So we'll see. I will predict, though, you will need the antacid afterwards. So wash it down with a good old bottle of water they'll have in the media center at the racetrack. Oh my goodness, it's gonna be fun. I can't wait to hopefully make my way out to Martinsville one of these days. It's such a beautiful place, and just in general, Virginia is a beautiful state as well, so looking forward to it. But what do you think, folks, about Nathan's hot dog count or our race picks or our opinions this week on Podium Perspectives? As the kids would say, hit us up on social media at the Podium Finish. And if you happen to make some winning picks for this weekend's races, all 3, of course, not just 2 or not just 1, all 3, we'll get you an in-stock 2024 164 diecast car, courtesy of our friends at spoilerdiecast.com. It's as simple as that, folks. Now it is time for us to go into the hot seat. And this week we have Alex Bowman. Welcome back to another edition of In the Hot Seat live from NASCAR at COTA. I'm Rob Tiongson, and this fellow here, you probably know him many times, but we like bringing him back. This is Alex Bowman, of course, driver of the number 48 Ally Chevrolet Camaro. And Alex, finally we get to do something else besides Texas Motor Speedway. So aren't you glad I go elsewhere?
Yeah, perfect. This place is pretty cool. Glad to have you here.
Absolutely. And this is a pretty good track for you, Alex, because you're just on the top 10 machine streak here. So what is it with COTA that you like about racing here?
Yeah, I feel like we've kind of just had speed since the first time we came here, especially with the next-gen car. So yesterday was a little frustrating, but I think we have a good race car, and we'll see how today goes. It's been a really good place for me, and it'd be cool to get a win here.
Certainly. And how much has the track changed with the restart zone being pushed back and then some of the sections being repaved?
Yeah, I mean, the restart zone, I don't think we really know until we go do it. You know, looking at the other 2 series, there was still quite a bit of drama getting into 1, so we'll wait and see on the cup side of that. I feel like we typically amplify that drama a little bit, and the repave stuff, you know, honestly, it hasn't changed it much. Like, I feel like they've patched this place over the years quite a bit, and we always come back thinking there's going to be a lot of grip, and there really never is, so really kind of business as usual.
Sounds like a plan for sure. And you're off to a pretty decent start. You got a good finish last weekend at Bristol. I know a lot of folks have different opinions of it, but that had to be a lot of fun zipping through the field with new tires.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think I enjoy tire management races. You'd like to be able to run a little harder than that or go a little longer on tires, but I think it's way better than just running 100% for 500 laps. It gives the driver more control over the outcome of the race. So I really enjoyed it. Obviously, it worked out well for us, and yeah, maybe we'll see more of that in the future.
For sure. And is there certain tracks in the schedule coming up in the spring and summer that you're going, you know what, this is our chance to bring the Ally Chevrolet back to victory lane? I know every week, but, you know, ideally.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think any week's a good week to win, but this place is really good to me. Dover's been really good to me over the years. So a lot of good places coming up. You know, we've won at Richmond before, so plenty of opportunities to win.
Certainly, and I know Martinsville's around the corner, and y'all revealed the ruby red cars during Daytona 500 Speed Weeks. You know, how special is it to run those cars later on a couple weeks from now?
Yeah, that's going to be really special. Everything that Hendrick Motorsports has going on for the 40th anniversary is really, really cool. So excited about that. Hopefully we can get a win there. I know it means a lot to Mr. H and everybody back at the shop. So every week's important, but that one's really special for sure.
And I'm sure you'd like to get yourself a grandfather clock along the way, too.
Yeah, for sure. It'd be cool to have another one, for sure.
Now, let me ask you about your best friend's foundation partnership, because you guys finally ran cats on your cars. And as someone who is a pet owner with cats and dogs, let me tell you, I was so happy to see that. What was it hard to convince you to have cats on the car?
I mean, I didn't even really know what was happening until I walked in the shop. So, yeah, I mean, it's cool to be able to give back to homeless pets. obviously, you know, that program has been going on for quite a while now. We've raised a ton of money for homeless animals, and something that's really easy to be a part of and really cool. So it's been a lot of fun over the years working with Ally and Best Friends, and excited to continue that.
For sure. And I know that being a dog owner, there's probably some rewarding stories that you hear from people who say, Alex, thanks for letting me know about Best Friends. I just got a dog or a cat. Have you had any testimonials about those things?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like you meet a lot of people that have rescued animals, and that's a big part of their lives too. So, you know, it's really cool. And, you know, I think just the difference that we've made and improving homeless animals' lives has been really special. Obviously, there's a long way to go. Like, there's a lot of that going on in the country. But, yeah, being able to help out a little bit is really cool.
For sure. And I know that fans can also go buy the diecast car, hopefully raise some awareness. Does some of that go to that foundation as well?
I'm not sure. Does the diecast car go to the foundation? No, I don't think.
Shame.
Yeah, you're calling us out.
I mean, not you guys.
Yeah, right? Yeah, for sure. That'd be cool. I don't know. Maybe in the future. But I don't know. I'm not really involved in all that. But I mean, I think we've raised over $500,000 for homeless animals. That's been really cool. You know, obviously we want more, and we're going to continue down that path.
Certainly. Now let me ask you, because NASCAR has seen some great growth recently with ratings, more eyes on the sport, social media engagement. Some people are contributing that to NASCAR Full Speed on Netflix. What's your thoughts on that, and what are other ways you think that sport can keep growing?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I didn't watch the Netflix series, but you know, I think that's all good stuff for the sport, right? I think any of that is great. We see what it's done to Formula One, and really cool. So I think, you know, anything that direction is helpful. Putting on good races helps too. So, you know, stuff like last week and kind of keeping things fresh and entertaining is really important.
Have you had any family or friends who may have not necessarily watched NASCAR come up to you and say, Alex, you know what? I should have given your sport a chance, and I was just, you know, being silly about it.
I haven't, but, you know, you've seen kind of some people on Twitter kind of spark up and be like, hey, I've never watched NASCAR, and then I saw the Netflix series, and now I'm watching. So that's really cool. More eyes on the sport is better for everybody.
And I hope more people know about your personality, because when Charlotte Motor Speedway did their media days, like, you were pretty brutal with that little mic.
Yeah, I mean, it was early in the morning. I hadn't had any coffee yet, but I have a dry sense of humor for sure.
I love it though, because I have one too. Even though I seem like I'm Mr. like easy comedy, but I like your style.
I appreciate it.
For sure. A couple more questions for you, sort of off topic, but if you were stuck on a deserted island for the rest of your life, what songs would you play to get by through the times?
Gosh, I don't think any songs are going to get you by for the rest of your life. Yeah, I couldn't pick just one, but I don't want to be stuck on a deserted island, so I'm just going to avoid that.
No Tom Hanks here, right?
No, definitely not.
Okay, no Wilson and no volleyballs and at all. Now, my last question for you. If you got to assemble your dream team of drivers past or present, besides your Hendrick Motorsports teammates, who would you pick and why?
Gosh. Dream team of drivers. I think, how many do I get?
As many as you wish. I'll say
four. Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson, Dale Earnhardt, Richard Petty.
Oh my goodness, it's like Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, it was an easy question.
I like when we give you easy questions, so that way here, all you think about is racing the car.
Yeah, exactly.
You ever want to say any shout-outs to the fans or any things you want to say?
No, I mean, just hopefully everybody tunes in today. Should have a great race here at COTA.
Absolutely. Alex Bowman here in the hot seat. Be sure to click on that like and subscribe button. It feels weird saying that, but just do that, and we'll appreciate having more content with Alex down the road. Thanks so much, Alex.
Yeah, thank you.
And that was Alex Bowman, who was our guest for this week's Hot Seat interview. Of course, that interview was conducted during the Echo Park Automotive Grand Prix weekend at Circuit of the Americas, but that was a lot of fun to do. Nevertheless, and my thanks, of course, goes to Alex for taking the time literally on race day. That was a lot of fun, to say the least. And Autumn Durack, who is his press release, pub relations representative for this season. And Autumn's such a joy to work with. She's so much fun. I might even release a blooper from that interview that you folks just need to see, because it's just too funny to just keep in the archives. The video version is out there on YouTube of the clean part of it, but the blooper, I think you guys will see, and I may drop it once this podcast is on the podcasting world. I think you guys will get a kick out of it, to say the least. And there might be a cameo from Autumn in that blooper reel. So you'll have to see what I'm saying and hear what I have to say when I release that clip later this week. But it is nearly time for us to put a bow in the show. So for my closing thoughts about Martinsville, all I'm going to say is patience, antacids, and grandfather clocks. So basically, what I'm trying to say is be prepared for heartburn and indigestion from being so restrained about racing at a paperclip racetrack with saving your brakes, not getting your tempers flaring up. And oh, by the way, trying to win a clock that you could easily win on Price is Right if you get the Price is Right on one of those pricing games. So maybe I think it's easier to go to Television City in Hollywood than to go race at Martinsville. But that's my closing thoughts. What about yours, Brooklyn?
Oh, goodness. I'm just prepared for another week of drama on the short tracks. I feel like, short tracks are just, I know I said this about road courses, like, I love road courses, I love short tracks. I'm sensing a trend with myself. Short tracks just are special, especially Martinsville. I really do love Martinsville. I agree with the heartburn, yeah, whether physically or metaphorically, physically for the people there eating hot dogs, maybe, metaphorically for the drivers and teams, yeah.
And I think just from people who may take my suggestion at the top of the show with eating Long John Silver's or Cookout, which I know for me, I'm probably going to eat chicken tenders if I got to go to either or both and ate both of those. And I know afterwards, I'm probably going to eat the antacid afterwards. So maybe we need to get sponsored by Tums again for the Martinsville race. I'm just saying, that would be an awesome plug for sure. But it's going to be a lot of fun. You don't want to miss it, folks. And just remember, if you need to see all the racing action, it's going to be on FS1. We're not on Fox this weekend. It's FS1. And before we do wrap up the show, because we're not covering college sports, let me just say, go Iowa. I want to see y'all win on Friday night against UConn. I'm sorry, New England fans. I know that's a betrayal that I'm cheering for a Midwest team, but let's see Caitlin Clark close out her college career by going to the championship game and then playing against whoever wins the other matchup, which I don't know who's going to win that one either. But I will say that Friday night's game is going to be so exciting. Not that the truck race won't be. I'll have one eye watching the truck race, but my other eye watching what goes on the UConn-Iowa game. So go Caitlin Clark and Hannah Stolke, Kate Martin. Listen, I almost named all the players. Coach Bluter. It's just so fun. I'm such a big advocate for women's sports. Just to see them prosper, succeed, in my opinion. Yeah, I know it's another story, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So Friday night's gonna be so much fun. Just a few more days to get through, folks, and then Friday night fun happens, and the weekend's here, Martinsville's here. Oh yeah, it's gonna be so great. Gonna be amazing. And yeah, I'm thinking long term, another week away from the Olympics in Paris, so I can't wait for that. That's gonna be fun. I do believe now it's a good time to put a bow in our show. So for Brooklyn Jackson and Alex Bowman, I'm Rob Tiongson saying thanks so much for tuning in to episode 111 of TPF Live, the world's fastest hour of racing talk. Catch our 110 previous episodes on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. Next week is episode 112, our post-Martinsville pre-Texas Motor Speedway edition of our podcast, in which William Byron, this time for real, will be our guest on our show. So this should be a lot of fun to have him around, because he's the defending Texas race winner. And until next time, everyone, as I always like to say, let's all go get that checkered flag. And until next time, so long, everyone.